All right, good people, we're going to get started here in just a second. First, I want to thank you guys for joining. I was told to let you guys know that there's a survey that you can fill out in the PCA app. Once you fill that out, hopefully I do a good enough job, they'll invite me back here and maybe we'll fill some more seats. So that's the goal. So listen, guys, I want to first again thank you guys for being here. I'm excited, man, because guess what? You're at the PCA Expo. You've done something that a lot of people can't do, and that's leave their team behind. You know, I think every one of you should be proud of that. Every one of you right now might have some painters working in the field right now, and that might be your first time. Is it anyone's first time leaving their team alone in the field right now? Raise your hand. Anyone? Wow, so good. We got a good group of veterans. That's all right, man. Hey, that's a great step, man. I love that. So today, guys, we're gonna talk about automating the customer journey for business growth. So a lot of you guys showed up today. Maybe you're having some troubles with your systems or your processes or something in your business just isn't quite clicking, and you're doing a lot more work than what you might need to do. And we're gonna talk about a lot of great topics, but most importantly, we're gonna talk about some psychology and the way business is changing. So first of all, I wanna give you a little intro about myself. My name is Tanner Mullen. I am the proud founder of Premium Painting. There's a breakfast we had not too long ago with my team. And of course, my beautiful family, my wife Angelica, my two kids, Malia and Luca. And you know, these pictures mean so much to me because, you know, I have two families. I think we all do, right? And the reason we build our business first is for us, right? I think that was the first goal. And some of us have hit a threshold of success after that first goal was met. And then we realized, you know, I'm gonna start building this thing for the people that have helped me build it for me. And that's what my transition has been, you know, and ultimately there's no greater driving force than doing something for others. And you know, to be honest with you, the reason you're here is to get a competitive edge. You know, I don't think if we raise our hand, who's here to just make a bunch of money and take it all to the bank and selfishly indulge in that? I think all of us find that there's impact greater than ourselves, and that's why we're here. And I wanna just showcase to you and emphasize how important my family is and my team and you guys are. I wanna impact your life. I wanna give you some value today. I wanna create some ideas that you might not be thinking about in your business that you need to start thinking about. This is a very, very important topic, one that I'm very passionate about. So I kind of fooled you guys. You know, some people thought that this was for business growth and I wanted to see who would show up, right? This isn't growth, this is survival, okay? Businesses right now are in a pivotal time. And if you guys aren't paying attention to some of the technological advancements that are happening in business, you need to start, okay? Because a lot of things are changing and this is for survival. And you guys are in the right room, I promise you. So first, what is the customer's journey? The customer's journey is a big part of what I do every single day, not only with Drip Jobs, but for my painting business. The customer journey is something that you should be very, very confident in your ability to understand what it means. And if this is a big focus for you, not only will you be able to find that your customers will benefit, but it'll give you a lot of clarity on the holes in your processes. And hopefully today in this talk, I'm gonna give you some insight on some areas that you might be falling short in. So first, the customer journey, in my own definition, is how your customers interact with your company from the initial thought of working with you to the final goodbye if they choose to hire you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. I can't do the mic. All right, so how your customer interacts with you is, you know, really the initial thought of working with you to the final goodbye if they choose to hire you, okay? And this is so important. It's that initial thought, and wherever that thought comes from, whether it's a Facebook marketing campaign, a yard sign, it could be, you know, a Google ad, Google search, wherever that is, it's, you know, the initial thought and from the final goodbye. And it's so important for you to understand that this is the difference maker in your business that's gonna make or break you. So let me just talk about, you know, a little bit of a strategy here. So what if I told you that instead of one long journey that your customer has from start to finish, throughout that journey, your customer is actually experiencing pit stops or checkpoints throughout the way. And if you're not focusing on those pit stops or checkpoints, it's creating holes in your business. And that's what we're going to talk about. So what if I also told you that the sum total of the experiences that I'm referring to add up in a big way and can make or break the success and growth of your business? Let's get into it. So let's talk about how automation can facilitate these micro experiences that are happening that you might not even be aware of. So we might solve some problems that you're not even 100% sure you have yet. So first, let's talk about the essence of automation. First of all, it's simple. We really need to just get from point A to point B faster, right? That's the goal, guys. That is what every business is attempting to do. We want to get from point A to point B faster, whether that's to do faster sales, faster, more marketing, or of course, getting production done faster, right? So here's the first key takeaway of my talk today is innovation is a form of automation. I'm gonna explain to you why I say that. So first of all, let's talk about the evolution of our trade, house painting. Cabinet refinishing, house painting. Let's talk about the evolution. I want you to look at this picture here. One of the first versions of the paintbrush. Is anyone using this to paint a house anymore? No, right? Somebody bundled together some sticks and said, hey, if I dip these sticks in this, you know, mud wax material and slap it on the wall, it's a lot easier than me using my hand, right? Somebody came up with that idea. And ultimately, it was foreign. You're like, dude, you're gonna use some sticks to put the mud stuff on the walls? You're crazy, what are you doing? And then he did it, and then somebody agreed with him and said, you know what, that's a pretty good idea. I think I want to do that too. And somebody else did it, and then somebody else did it. And then when they were doing it, somebody thought, you know what, I need to make that a little bit better because, you know, my sticks are breaking or whatever the problem was. And then we created this thing. Anybody recognize this? Well, it didn't look like this to begin with. It was sticks. And this is kind of just, I found this online. It's the, looks like the patent, you know, and they're going through and they're kind of figuring out what it's going to look like and how it's going to work. And this is the early version in 1941. Now, obviously, this is the modern version today. And the idea, guys, was we wanted to get from point A to point B faster, not only faster, with more quality, a better experience for the painter. Early ladder patent in 1921. They were really off base here. They had a straight up ladder with like two sticks on the right and left side. And you know, I think you'd have to only lean it, but look how far the ladder's come. I mean, I think most of us have a little giant or some form of that little giant with our crew or in our house. Such an innovation happened with that ladder. Why? It's more compact, it's easier to travel with, and it helps you get to the end goal faster. Patent sketch of the first paint roller with replaceable cylinder in 1951. Look how far we came. Now we can just shoot it out of an airless sprayer and roll without dipping it into the bucket anymore, right? So the advancements happen more often than we think in the area of production. We're gonna talk about that. Anybody recognize that thing? I mean, I don't even know what this is, but you know, look what it got to, right? So there's an evolution that's happened in the way that we produce our results. And it's so important for you to understand that because of these new technologies, the painting industry, the painting contractor is able to do the job more efficiently, save the most valuable resource of all, which is our time, right? That's the goal, from point A to point B faster. So every business strives to complete their deliverables faster, more efficiently in order to optimize and capitalize. This is a survival strategy. This is not an optional thing. This is something that you as a leader in your business, whatever organization you're in, I know I got some marketing guys here, but it doesn't matter. The thought should be, how can I do this faster and more efficiently? How can I do this faster and more efficiently, right? That is the goal of every business. And if you don't, someone else will, okay? So let's talk about really what's going on in the painting business. Innovation allows us to continuously evolve and grow. As of right now in 2024, there's 252,000 businesses registered in the United States for painting. Mind-blowing, right? I don't know, did some of you not know that? I was surprised when I saw that number. Here's our industry revenue. This is just the labor, about $41 billion in industry revenue. According to this source. So a lot of opportunity to make a lot of money. There's a lot of people selling paint jobs, right? And here's the key. You must differentiate yourself if you want to win with that much competition. So this is about differentiating yourself in a unique way. And ultimately, I want you to understand there's four main elements of business. This is where your focus should be. Obviously, this is going to be more general than Tara's wonderful speech, but it's production, marketing, sales, and administrative. These are your four heads to the monster that at any given time, if one is not fed, well, you know, the whole unit is going to die. And we need to continuously feed these. We need to nurture them. We need to innovate, and we need to really automate. So in the same way that the elements of production have evolved, the other areas have evolved and must continue to evolve as well. So here's key takeaway. This is so important. Why people buy will never change. Okay. If you talk to a homeowner from 50 years ago, they're going to tell you, I want to change the color, or the wood's rotting and it needs to be repaired, or, you know, I just want to freshen things up. My kids moved out. Same answers you'll get today. How people buy will always change, right? And businesses capitalize on this and they win. And the ones that are ahead of the curve, right? You guys see the big AI push right now. Why is that? It's because they know it's a race to the moon. The first one there is going to win. And then eventually mass adoption occurs, which you're starting to see. There was a very short window of time for businesses to stand out with AI. Now it's everywhere. You can't get away from it, right? So we're still in that point of time where painting business owners have the opportunity to really separate themselves, right? And we're going to talk about that. So I don't know about you guys, but there was it was a long time ago. I don't know, maybe like 7 years ago. Somebody mentioned that that there's companies out there that will deliver your groceries. Now, for me, this was a foreign concept, right? I said, who would want someone to touch their fruits and vegetables, right? Like, who's gonna pay someone to go to the grocery store, grab their groceries, and like, you know, pick the perfect berries? Like, I like checking my blueberries, you know, they always, anybody get blueberries, you know? You gotta check them, right? So who's gonna do this? And who's gonna trust them to put it in their car and bring it to my house? Like, that's something that I have to do. There's no way someone else is gonna do that, right? Here it is, right? So this was once a foreign concept that now is globally accepted. Now, you might think, well, not that many people do this, Tanner. Well, we'll see about that. So natural progression in business is really, this is the formula for that. It's easier, faster, more efficient, not only for the business owner, but most importantly for the customer. So not many people do it, huh? So it started off in 2019 at $58 billion. And it's going to be 2025, $221 billion in online grocery shopping. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this at one point was a foreign concept as a consumer. But because more people said yes to it, what did I have to do? I had to adjust my thinking because it was normalized, right? So this is the concept that I want to share with you, is that there's a lot of things that are becoming normalized. And we're going to talk about automation. And we're going to talk about how this is becoming so normal that anything outside of that is foreign. And when it's foreign, it's what? Anyone know?
Foreign.
Scary, right? This was scary to me before it became normal. Now that it's normal, anything outside of that is scary. We'll get into that in a minute. So if the market adapts to the innovation, it forces businesses to pivot, right? Because what happens if a business doesn't pivot? They become obsolete. No longer relevant. Can anyone think of a business that has become obsolete because they failed to innovate? Anybody?
Blockbuster.
That's a good one. Everyone says Blockbuster. Does anyone know why Blockbuster went obsolete?
DVDs.
They failed to move the needle. If businesses adapt to the innovation, it forces competitors to pivot, or the competitor risks becoming obsolete. So who's going to innovate first, right? Who's going to be an innovator in their space? In 2016, Walmart spent $3 billion to go all in on e-commerce because they could not keep up with Amazon. So instead of creating the solution, what did they do?
They bought it.
Why? Because it got them from what? Point A to where? Point B, faster. Now, it didn't work out actually, but what they did is they got what they needed. Right? I know you probably know this story pretty well. They got what they needed. They got the infrastructure. They got the sauce. They got the secrets. And guess what? Walmart's a major online player now. Don't underestimate online sales for Walmart, because they are always one step ahead. So what happens when a company refuses to innovate and adapt to change? Well, let's get into that. You guys know these companies, Sears, Blockbuster. And it really just comes down to this. They saw an opportunity to pivot, but they failed to make the move. They didn't want to take action, right? They saw an opportunity. They saw customers doing things differently, but they were what? Anyone know? Stuck in their ways. Anyone here sometimes feel stuck in your ways, right? There's some things that I'm stuck in my ways in, but ultimately I understand that my responsibility are the people that you saw on the second slide. So sometimes I got to get a little uncomfortable. Sometimes I got to learn something new. Sometimes I got to try something new if it gives me a competitive edge, because I'm running from mediocrity. I'm running from becoming obsolete. Now, obsolete doesn't always have to mean that you're going to be out of business. I think any of us could pick up a paintbrush and stay in business, right? Most of us could. But really, the idea is you become excluded from growth, because growth requires consistent systems that create consistent results. And you can't duplicate mediocrity. It has to be something that is obviously scalable. So how do you protect this from happening in your painting business? So let's talk about it. Number one, there's four rules. Number one, you're gonna embrace technology. We can't run away from it. It's gotta be something that we seek. It's gotta be something that we learn and take the time to optimize. It's gotta be something that we embrace. Number two, continuous and never-ending improvement, right? That needs to be a mindset of you and your business. Sometimes we're so stuck in the trenches as business owners.
Sometimes, you know, it just gets to the point where you don't really know what to do, but continuous and never-ending improvement is just minute changes, minute steps in your business that ultimately add up to big change. Number three, adjust to the market change. If you see something changing in your market, adjust to it. Learn a different skill, learn a different skill set, stay above the curve. And number four, take risks. So what I'm gonna describe to you today is a major change that's happening in the way that people buy paint jobs. And it's important for you to stay above the curve. You are in a room right now where not many people are talking about this. And the fact that the seats aren't full is because not many people know about it or see it as valuable. And I know that. We're early adopters here. So I want you to know that you're in the right room. And you should be lucky and happy that there's not that many seats, because you get an opportunity right now to make some changes in your business that not many people are making. Okay? And let's get into that. So what is the common denominator that forces change in the way business interactions occur? Customers start buying differently, okay? When people start buying differently, that means what? Businesses need to start selling differently, right? You have to change the way that you position your offer as a business owner. So this is how we used to get bids in 1990, right? I was just a baby, but from what I was told, you actually talked to the guy who lived next to you. The fences were a lot lower. They weren't privacy fences. And you would talk about the people that worked on your house after they were done. And someone would say, hey, you might want to give them a call. Or if you didn't have that neighbor, you'd go on Yellow Pages. And you might look up somebody who named their company AAA Painting, right? Or a newspaper. You'd see who took out an ad, right? This was the customer journey. It started off with the neighbor. And then the neighbor would take his word for it. Would you believe it? And then the painter would show up and he'd probably sell the job and start painting. Might start painting that day. Same thing. He would do his own research. He'd make a decision. And then the painter would show up, right? This is 1990, maybe early 2000s. Maybe, you never know. But watch this. Something happened. Companies started to realize that hiring a contractor was risky. Okay? They aim to solve the problem and capitalize on it, right? So we can thank all the people who took the deposits and never rendered the jobs, all right, that positioned us to have to fight for business, right? So it's us versus the customer until we win their trust, which can be a challenge that I'm willing to accept. But check it out. Here's all the options now. What did it do? It confused the marketplace. It made them probably, I don't know, not only confused them, but it probably created more of a trust barrier, right? It's like, if there's all these resources out there promising me somebody that's not going to screw me over, I may have never been screwed over, but why? I feel like I've been screwed over, right? If everyone else has been screwed over, what does that make me feel like? There's a chance I could be screwed over. So I need to use one of these resources because there's no alternative. But that wasn't always the narrative. It was a marketing strategy, right? Business owners create marketing strategies around what? Anyone know? Problems, right? So that's what these guys did. What's the problem of their ideal customer? Contractors. It's you versus them. You need us in between to make sure. And I call this risk aversion as a service, right? RAS, risk aversion. This is the big money business right now, guys. I want you to understand that these companies are raking in a lot of money positioning their company in between your customer, right? And this is what it looks like. It's my little, I made this, by the way. I'll protect you, miss. So she's now vetting the contractor, but she's got to go through Yelp, Housebar, Craftjack, Google, Angie, and he says, let's see some online reputation, sir, or if you just pay us $100, we'll give you her information. A little bit different, right? And she's confused. She doesn't know who to pick now. We're in trouble. So the customer has more options than ever and more resources than ever to make a buying decision, right? This is the new customer journey, right? So Forward Media Marketing runs you a nice Facebook ad, and guess what they do? They go to Google. Well, thank goodness we got Basecoat in the building because he made us look real good on Google, but they went to Google and they did their own what? Anyone know? Research. Why? Because they can. Then they went to social media to make sure that we had relative posts, to make sure we were legitimate. And then you know what they decided to do? They went to our website, right? And then they finally submitted the information. Why? Well, because they did their own research. They're relying on themselves to make the decision, right? They submitted the info and then he finally got the estimate. Thanks for the referral. I'll take it from here. She's laughing. How do we adapt to this new way of doing business? We want to be two places at once. If all of us could be in two places at once, I'm sure we'd create a lot of income. It'd be a lot easier to manage a business. We need to position ourselves and our operations in such a way that we can efficiently absorb the multi-channel influx and which will allow us to capitalize on the emotional aspect of the customer journey, right? So aside from, you know, the automation, the organizational aspect is also a key element. We're going to talk about that. So first, we create an above average customer service experience through the power of automation. Okay, here's the deal. Again, you have an opportunity to be an outlier right now, okay, in your business. And I know that, and everyone else that's on board with automation understands this concept, that you have an opportunity to be an outlier. And there was a lot of opportunity for a lot of other businesses to be an outlier, but because everyone else wasn't doing it, it seemed foreign. But when you become an entrepreneur, there's a part of you that has to say, I'm willing to step forward. Now for me, I remember quitting my job as a 9-to-5 employee at a bank. That was the scariest thing I'd ever done. So for me, there's no other risk within my business that's gonna be scarier than leaving a secure $80,000 a year salary, full health insurance benefits, the full package, the 401k, all the things that were promised to me. So when it comes to innovating and adapting to change, I'm not doing it because it sounds exciting. I'm doing it so I don't have to go back, right? And that's the mindset. We need to be risk takers if we want to win the game of business, not just win, scale, not just scale, grow, and continuously grow. So concept number one we're going to talk about is speed to lead and how important this is, right? This is a huge deal. If you don't understand that our attention spans are shrinking, right, as humans with the influx of information that we're given on a daily basis, then if you do understand that, then you would understand that your customer's patience is very thin. And it's not so much that it's thin because, you know, anything other than the fact that they have options, right? Some of us get a call on Google, right? And if we don't answer that phone, I don't know if anybody's hired a contractor, but I know if I need a service and I go down the list and they don't answer that phone, what am I doing? Going to the next one, right? This is what your customers are doing now. This wasn't a problem 10, 15 years ago. It is now a problem. So this report by Harvard is a very famous report. There's not many reports on this, not many studies on this right here, but this is the one that comes up time after time. They actually did the work to figure this out because it's such a big deal. So what this really says is that the best time to contact a lead with it is within the first 5 minutes, right? We know that, right? We know that speed to lead is important. But what I really want to show you is that there's such a drop off after 5 minutes that it's almost like you wasted your money because of how, I mean, and I don't know when they did this review, but I will say that if it was anything longer than 2 years ago, I bet it's probably decreased to 2 or 3 minutes, right? And it's only going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. So for those of you that, you know, buy leads and I don't know, maybe you're still in the brush or maybe you're still, you know, answering the phone. What I want you to think about is when you get this lead, I want you to think about that first thought you have. Is it a thought of, I'll get to them in a few minutes? Is it a thought of, I'll take care of it when I get home? Is it a thought of, I'll do it a little bit later, right? And if that's your initial thought, you're not understanding how serious this really is. If it's your first thought, my first thought is if I don't get in touch with this lead in the next 30 seconds, I'm in trouble. They're probably not gonna hire me or they'll just ignore my phone call, right? So this is the mindset that you need to have. So we'll get into that a little bit more. So I wanna take you through a couple case studies within my own business to show you how important and how valuable automation is. Anybody here ever purchased a lead from Home Advisor or Angie Leads? Anybody? Okay, got a couple people. Now, do you guys see the time on that lead? That was 1 o'clock in the morning, okay? So for some of us, we're probably sleeping, right? And if we're not sleeping, we're probably not responding to Carlitha until the next morning, right? We're not, I mean, but here's the deal. If we're awake, we're gonna feel that anxiety, right? I also wanna take your attention down here to the lead fee of $95.82, okay? Now this is what I usually look like when the lead comes in, right? And this is exact, I don't know, it was pretty close to me back a couple years back where I would be debating if it would be appropriate to text her because she's up, right? She has to be, and she submitted, she's doing business at 1 o'clock, I'll do business at 1 o'clock, right? Well, obviously I didn't, and you know what happened. Or maybe we're in the job, right? Or maybe we're at the estimate, we hear the phone buzzing, right? And we start to feel that anxiety, like, man, I gotta get that lead. Hey, excuse me one second. Or if you're like me, I was on the ladder, right? I did paint with my crew, and I would be on the ladder climbing. It always comes at that time, right? And here I am answering the phone on the ladder, right? Because, and guess what? They didn't even answer anyway, so I risked my life for nothing. So the lead aggregator customer automatically books after receiving a follow-up at 1 o'clock. And this is just one of many case studies we're gonna go through, but it came in at 1 o'clock. And as you can see here, we have an automation that went out the next morning, okay? It says, does Wednesday work for an estimate? But I want you to see something. The first message was automated and it went out at 1 o'clock, okay? And this was triggered based off of her submitting her information at 1:04 in the morning. If she wants to do business at 1:04 in the morning, she can do business at 1:04 in the morning. Because the message sounds professional and it was triggered upon impact, she created that. I didn't create that. It was automated. So it was effective. Now, if she wants, we have a call to action right there that she can take action on. And that allows her to move forward in the pipeline. But in this case, she didn't. Maybe she fell asleep. Maybe she was drinking some wine with her husband, right? Thinking about the paint job. Maybe went to sleep, said, I don't know if I need this paint job, forget it. I don't even want to engage with this company. And then look what happened. We automated another message. Does Wednesday work for an estimate? How many of you know that there's a Wednesday every single week? Right? So it could be Wednesday. Well, guess what? We're talking about next Wednesday, or it could be Tuesday. We're talking about tomorrow. And then she booked the appointment, right? But how many of us stop at one phone call, two phone calls, three phone calls? Maybe we send a manual text message from the hip. Again, I'm emphasizing to you that you have under 5 minutes to make an impact. And if you don't, you need to have a system in place that creates the impact for you. Because what happens is, it's not just Carlitha. It's Sam, who comes in at 9 o'clock. It's Joe, the lead, that comes in at 10 o'clock. And now we have to juggle three leads at different stages. Well, Joe just came in, so he needs his first interaction. And Carlitha came in, and she needs her third interaction. And Joe came in, and he needs his second interaction. After about three leads, there's nothing that you could do to optimize your lead management, right? You need automation for this. So let's talk about the Facebook lead journey. Lucas does a great job. He came in and created a beautiful ad that generates us leads. Now, here's the deal. Some of us have our lead flow spread all over the place. Facebook, Angie Leads, Google, website, phone, and you're logging in to all these different apps, trying to contact these leads, right? We centralize everything. They come in off the ad, they submit their information, check it out. The Facebook lead is responding to an automatic follow-up the next day. Again, he came in at 7 o'clock. Maybe I was at dinner with my family. Maybe I was doing Legos with the kids. I don't know. I don't care. Automation's doing it, right? He didn't respond to it though. But guess what? We dripped out another message. Does Wednesday work for a free estimate? Anyone remember if there's a Wednesday every week? Yes, there is, right? But what does that do? It creates a human element. He probably thinks that I spent time typing this message. Is that wrong or right? Doesn't matter. You choose, you know? At the end of the day, he submitted his information for a service, and I'm being a service provider and doing everything I can to render that service, right? And that's the mindset that you need to have. The difference between where you are and where you want to be is the money in the people's pockets of whom you serve. So if you don't make an effort to go get it, well, then guess what? You're not going to get it, right? So the mindset for me is, I will pursue you until you tell me stop. And once you tell me stop, I'm respectful. And I'm not doing this in an aggressive way, but here's the deal. I know that people get busy. I can't generalize my leads. I can't say, you know what, they don't want to work with me anymore, right? Some of you guys do that with your proposals, and we're going to talk about that too. Can't generalize it, right? Everyone's got different things going on. I can't tell you how many scenarios that I've heard that are just so off the wall, right? This is why they didn't continue with me. Daughter sick, family vacation, didn't mean to click the button, right? That doesn't mean that you don't own a home, right? So we're going to talk about a little bit of that too. All right, so here's the customer Google and website journey, right? So let's talk about that. This is your journey, and these are the journeys that we're talking about, right? So we started off, right? We talked about that paid lead aggregator journey. This is a journey within your business if you're with a paid lead aggregator. Then we talked about the Facebook journey, right? This is something that you should be focusing on. And now we have the Google journey, right? And really, guys, the best way to do this is to be your customer. Go through the journey and say, where are the bottlenecks here? How long does it take someone to contact me from each entity, right? So here's a customer Google and website journey. You see here that obviously they're gonna click that website link once Googling the company. We have a couple Google guarantees up top. How many of you right now have a painting business website that has a form on it that looks like this? Raise your hand, please, right? Raise your hand. I'm gonna call on somebody. Can I call on you? Yeah? All right, so let me ask you a question. It's Saturday night, it's 8 o'clock. Maybe you're out to dinner, you're with your family. Somebody fills out the form on your website. Where does that information go? Saturday night. Now, if it was me and I wanted a painting estimate and I chose this medium to contact you at Saturday night, my emotional intensity to get a painting job in that moment is probably 10 out of 10. Maybe I was sold on your reviews. Maybe I enjoyed looking at your website. Maybe I thought, man, this is the company for me, right? Saturday, 7 o'clock. Now be honest, are you calling that customer Sunday morning? Okay, so that's 24 hours that go by, right? Sunday night, are you calling that customer? No. Now what if Monday morning comes around, which for me, I don't know, anybody in business, Mondays just, they hit you, right? Do we sometimes forget that customer filled out the information and it's sitting in our email, right? So the thought is, here's the old mentality, is that they'll wait for me. They're not waiting anymore. That's the change. Why? Anybody know why they're not waiting? They have options. You haven't earned it, right? We need to pursue our customers in a way that makes them feel like they are our only customer. And that should be with every business. But we can't be two places at once, can we? Right? To you before maybe coming to this talk, which was my goal, that process may not have been a big deal to you. Monday morning, you get around to it. But let me tell you, between Saturday and Monday morning, that emotional intensity drops down on a sliding scale, I would say to probably about a 4 out of 10. What does that mean? So here's the deal. Now you have to go into that email. What do? Monday morning, get the email, you call them, right? Could there be a chance that they don't answer the phone? Right. So then we have to wait. You get busy. It's Monday. That's Tuesday. That was a hot customer that would have bought right away. They wanted to just advance to the next step. They didn't need a commitment. They really didn't even need to talk to you. They just wanted to advance to the next step. Do you know what the next step is after this? Scheduling an estimate. We don't need to get on the phone to do that, right? So we need to create systems that help people get from their point A to point B faster. Does that make sense? Because even though we're trying as a business to get from point A to point B faster, our customers want to get from point A to point B faster too, right? So we need to position our business in a way that allows our customers to take actions independent of our physical presence. And that is the essence of winning the game. So not to pick on you, but this is a very common thing. So Monday comes around, we call the customer. What's the first question you ask the customer after they fill out this form?
How you heard about us.
How you heard about us, right? What else?
What the project is.
What the project is, good. What else?
How soon did they need the project to do?
Perfect, what else?
Can you afford me?
Good question, what else? Perfect. All right, so you asked four questions right there for the customer, okay? Great questions. So let me show you first before I get into that. This was my business back in March 25th. I'm the automation guy, right? But I always wasn't this way. This was March 25th, 2019 on my old Wix website, right? Anybody got a Wix website? It was great to start out with. If you need a good one, talk to Austin. But here's the deal, I just want you to see, a site visitor just submitted a new contact form. I'm with you guys, it was me too. I thought this was normal. Cool, they submitted the form, right? I want a job quote, would like a quote on the exterior painting of our house, but look at the time, 9:22 at night. I wanted to get back to him, but I couldn't. And then tomorrow hit me like a ton of bricks. So here's the customer's initial experience with our company. Number one, they have to wait for a call back or an email, right? They're not fulfilled. If somebody's given a to-do list, my wife gives me a lot of these, okay? And she says, Tanner, I want you to, she calls me honey. Honey, I want you to go and I want you to get a quote for painting, you know? And all right, I'm like, all right, honey, I'll get it. I'll go up to my office, it's late. I'm like, let me look up some painting companies. And then I land on one of those forms and I fill out the form, right? The next morning she says, honey, did you get that quote? Can I honestly say yes? No, we're not done. I maybe did 50% of it. I can't check that off my to-do list, right? I want to be able to check it off my to-do list as a customer. Get me to the next step. I got to get to the number, but I got to go through all these channels first to get it. Get me to the number. Let me tell you guys something. You know why virtual estimating is going to take over this industry in the next 10 years? Because y'all are too slow. That's why. It's created the need for virtual estimating because the alternative is waiting around, filling out these forms and hoping that somebody gets back to us, right? That's why it's gonna happen, right? Excitement dwindles. Might go back to Google after it. Ah, filled out that form. Hopefully I have another better experience with another reputable company. Guess what? The longer we're in business, the more five-star reviews happen with our competitors. The normal five-star review, Austin probably has better data on this, but generally speaking, if you started a business 5 years ago and you got 25 five-star Google reviews, you were probably the top dog. Maybe 25 to 50, Austin, would you say around that range?
It's all relative now.
Yeah, now it's all relative. Now you need 100, 125, right? Again, the landscape's changing. Might go back to Google, still has to confirm when, right? That was one of our questions that you guys are asking. We still haven't figured out when. Uncertainty of the next steps. We can't assume that our customers know how to buy paint jobs, right? I mean, they haven't done this every 10 years, right? So we don't know. They don't know what the next step is. So there's uncertainty there. We're leaving the people that want to pay us their hard-earned money with uncertainty. When you guys go into a restaurant, is there any uncertainty about the next step, right? You guys probably don't even think about it. Go to the host. Hey, my name's Tanner. Just got a party of six. Okay, cool. Got it. We'll seat you, Tanner. We'll call you when your party's here. Perfect. I know that they're going to find a table for me. Are they going to sit us on the floor? No. Right? They're not going to sit us on the floor. I know the next steps. But with a painting company or a trade company in general, it's just as random as you can get, right? You don't know what you're getting. It's a gamble. It's Vegas, right? Uncertainty and next steps. Here's my form. It's really hard to see, so I'm going to break it down for you. Every question that you guys said that you ask is on this form. Every single one of them, right? So let's start with it. We got all the basic contact information. Service details. Tell me about what you want, right? Let's see, how did you hear about us is right there, right? What day works best for you for an estimate? What about another day if that one doesn't work, right? Let's see with this one. What type of project do you want to do? Interior, exterior, cabinets, right? I don't do cabinets, one of the other ones. And what are you most interested in? And the question is the most value, or are you looking for the best price? Or I'd rather not answer. And then let's see, there's what is your, and then you can put what is your budget for the project, right? So the questions that we know we're gonna ask, let's just save them the hassle, right? Why are we creating another step, right? Let's get it out of the way, because the goal is to get a quote, not to get the estimate in the eyes of the customer. I know that there's pre-qualifying, but we can automate a lot of this stuff with an active form that gets us the information we need, right? So check this out. Here it is, 1:27 p.m. We got a new appointment request. Check your drip jobs appointments for this. You know, the customer filled it out. They filled out the form, right? 1:27. Now he went to my website. He filled out the form, right? Answered all the questions that I need in order to book an appointment. And check this out. Here's the customer journey that we give our customers, because the alternative is what we discussed. It sits in the email. There's no action. Everyone's waiting, right? It doesn't matter when he books the appointment, but check this out. Hi, Chuck. Thank you for requesting an appointment with us here at Premium Painting. We reviewed your request and we'll reply with a confirmation or follow-up question shortly. This is our text line. Feel free to text back with any questions throughout the duration of your project. Thank you. Off the bat, right? This is within seconds of him hitting submit to the form I just showed you. He's receiving a confirmation that gives him the ability to pretty much check the box, right? Because there's no uncertainty there. We've informed him of next steps, right? Here's the deal. 2 minutes later, 1:29, the appointment's been booked. He booked himself. I didn't have to lift a finger. And he took himself through the customer journey. people want to take themselves through the customer journey now. They're more than capable of figuring it out, right? We don't need to baby them every step of the way. This is automation. Let's talk about building value now, because now that we have Chuck in our world, we don't want to lose precious time to create value with Chuck in such a way that's so dramatically different than our competition that he has no choice but to regret not hiring us, right? And price better be the only objection. We have a whole story that we tell Chuck, right? Our team of skilled and experienced painters is committed to delivering exceptional results. We're licensed and insured, and we stand behind our work with a satisfaction guarantee. Thank you for considering us. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. What did we do in terms of us versus the competitors? Can anyone give me a good answer in relativity to what I'm talking about today? Anyone know?
Build trust.
We build trust, right? Add value. We made them look foreign. Right? We made them look foreign. We built a lot of trust. We built a lot of value. But now, when he gets another quote from someone that has the contact form that I showed you, what does that make him think? Whoa, this company's way different. This is worth me paying more. Right? And we really only can make that decision based on the customer journey before the quote. Some of us are just booking a quote and knocking on the door. That's a problem, right? Because you're wasting valuable time. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So here's the customer Google phone journey. Listen, the phone, I love the phone. How many people here answer the phone for their business right now? Raise them, please, so I can coach you and I can help you and I can serve you. I need to know that, right? It's a major problem, and I know you all know that, okay? Here's the deal. I go back to my question. I'm going to call on you, sir. Is that okay? Somebody calls you Saturday, 9:00. What do? You with the hat right there. Yeah. Do you answer the phone for your business?
9:00.
Yeah. Do you just let it ring? Do you hang up on it?
I usually don't get calls, so it's my
brother. Okay, he answers it. Who answers the phone here? Anybody? So 9:00, you, miss.
On Saturday
night, 9:00, you get a business phone call.
I don't answer it.
You don't answer it. Maybe 7:00, you don't answer it. 6:00, you don't answer it, right? So, guys, just so you know, Saturday and Sunday are 2 days of the week. There's only 7 of them, okay? Anybody know how many weekends are in a year? That would be 52. Can anybody tell me how many days that is? 104, right? 104 days are going by where nobody's allowed to communicate with your business. What are we doing, right? I love the phone. Why? Because I automated it. Thank you for calling Premium Painting. We're sorry we missed your call. If you are wanting to schedule an appointment, why else would you be calling me? Please visit premium.dripjobs.com. Fill out the form. We'll be in touch shortly after. Thank you. Not only that, I get a nice recording when we call them back. And then I get a call summary powered by AI to tell me what happened. Automation. Now let me tell you something. You have a question?
Question. Is this part, after they call, it sends out the text message to them, or do you have a voice recording that tells them to do that?
As soon as they call and we miss that call, which I love when it happens, because they get that text message instantly. That's Open Phone. It's an app, Open Phone, okay? Text message instantly. It could be on the weekends. It could be at 9:00. And guess what? We do get calls between 9 and 11 p.m. People don't care. They're calling the painting business. Why? Because on my Google profile, it says what? I'm open 24 hours. Of course I am. Always open. Right, Tara? I was smiling when you were talking about that earlier. Always open, baby. Never miss an opportunity. Right? Some of you who answered the phone right now in your business are here engaging with people. I haven't had a chance to check anything. I've been talking to so many people. You're sitting there stressed when that phone rings. I know you are.
I don't even have a cell signal right now.
No cell signal. What do we do with the money? We put it in the driveway, Tara, right? Just put it in the driveway, right? Put it on fire, because that's what's happening, right? And my goal for you is to understand that there's tools available for us to be two places at once. This is one of them. Your phone is the best lead source. I'll tell you that. Somebody makes the effort to call your phone number, they're as motivated as they will ever be. But let me make it clear to you, they are not patient anymore, right? they were patient before because you were the only option. Maybe you were the only one they got a number for. And ultimately, you know, we had the leverage back then, didn't we? Right? It's like, you need us. Now the more we need you, so you're going to wait a little bit for us, right? I got to, you know, enjoy this weekend at Disney, and then I'll get back to you on Monday. It's not happening anymore. I'm telling you, this is the pivotal moment. You guys are going to remember this talk because in the next few years, the landscape is going to change. And I'm here, my mission in a way that I'm trying to serve you is for you to understand it's time to get serious about automation. It's time to get serious about the journey in your business. It's time to get serious about really what the direction of your business is in, because the people underneath you are the ones that are going to suffer. Right? You can keep yourself busy, but the people around you, it's very hard to keep busy unless that phone is ringing and you're capitalizing on opportunity. So here's the deal. We have AI. Now, another mindset shift is stop asking how much something costs. How many of you, be honest, when I put this up here, thought, I wonder how much that costs? Be honest. Come on, most of you did, right? Come on, it's okay. Get rid of that mindset. What's the value? Anyone want to know? It's $250 a month to have this app.
$250. Is it integrated in
DripJobs? No. It's right there. See that link? $250. How many think $250 a month is worth it for something that does all this? Right? Well, what if I told you it's $25 a month? It's only $25 a month. But you just justified $250 because you see the value in what it's going to do for you. And that's the mindset, right? And if you add $25 to that, you get the business plan for $50 and you get the AI transcript. Had a customer 2 days ago. You didn't tell us that the sunroom was included or not included. Well, guess what? What did we have? An AI transcript. I reviewed our conversation, miss, and we did say that, you know. I can send it to you. Anybody recognize this guy? In the car, right? In the van, sorry. When we answer our phones, three things happen when a customer calls and we're busy, right? Now, for those of you that raised your hand, I remember each one of you and I want to help you. So don't think this is embarrassing. Nobody can even see you anyway. I can see you. When you answer the phone in the car, three things happen. Number one, you get anxiety, right? You're like, all right, I got to figure out how to get this customer's information. Some of us actually get angry when a customer calls. Here's the deal. You do one of three things. You tell the customer to text you their information, right? Which people do to me so often. It's insane. I know somebody, anybody do that? Tell your customer to text you the information? Come on. Yeah. Every now and again. If you're driving, right, or you're busy, hey, could you just text me your name, address, phone number? Second thing you do, you might type it, right? Manual entry. Third way is, you know, ultimately write it down. Some of us still have a pen and paper. And this is what we're looking to change, guys. So lead nurturing, right? We have drips coming up. I want to tell you a little bit about why lead nurturing is important to your business. Now, here's the deal. This is a familiar graph. We went over this earlier. What happens after one day? The red arrow is just 30 minutes, right? So again, let me recap. Best time to respond within 5 minutes, right? 10 minutes, we're here, right? After 5 minutes, we're here. This is 10 minutes. We got 15 minutes. If we wait 30 minutes, this is where the motivation is, where the red arrow is. And this is not just for cold leads, guys. This is for people that fill out the form on your website who you think will wait for you. They're not waiting anymore. They don't care. We need to pursue our customers, right? So again, we talked about an opportunity on Saturday night when somebody filled out our form and we're expecting them to be there waiting for us at the train station on Monday morning, right? Well, they're not there anymore. Because it's been way longer than 30 minutes, you probably wouldn't even be able to see it on this graph. And it's only getting harder, okay? It's only getting harder. So why do cold leads need to be nurtured? There's six good reasons that I came up with. Number one, generally speaking, cold leads have low intent and we need to create high intent. Number two, there's a lot of mistrust, right? A cold lead doesn't know who you are, right? They know the entity that they found you on, right? That's the key. Number three, there's a lot of fears that might be creeping in as to why somebody, or a lot of fears about, you know, buying something from a painting contractor. Number four, budget. Maybe they're concerned a little bit about budget, you know, the money. Maybe they start thinking about it and said, you know what, I submitted the form, but man, I didn't go on a cruise with my kids and I feel selfish spending all this money on my cabinets being refinished. I don't need that right now, right? Maybe it was an impulse decision on Facebook. Maybe they saw the ad. The forward team did a great job, or whoever's running your ads did a great job. And guess what? Once it came time to commit, they started having second thoughts, right? Or maybe they're just busy, right? So these are all valid reasons why someone that you pay your hard-earned money for, right, who you think is a qualified lead, and you might get angry, right, because they're not answering the phone. Well, these are all the reasons they might not be answering the phone, right? So this is our cold lead customer journey, in my business at least, right? So this is what I found has worked best for me. The first step is, as soon as that lead enters into my world, they're getting an email and a text message instantly, within seconds. Now, guess what? Some people take us up on that, right? Some people get the text message, click the link, and move forward through the buying process. I don't get nervous when leads come through because I know that they're going to be taken care of. Our leads are our seeds, and we need to nurture them into beautiful flowers and plants, right? So an hour later, you guys saw that text message. It says, does Wednesday work for you, right? Works like a charm. One day after, an email. 3 days after, an email. 4 days after, a text and an email, and then 1 week after. So we go hard for 7 days, right? Why? Because again, one of those six reasons could be prevalent. Now here's the deal, when you guys want to scale your business, which I know all of you want to do, or else you probably wouldn't be here unless you just like hanging out with people, which is fine too. You need leads. We can't generalize why people don't buy. It doesn't make sense. You have to understand that people don't buy for their own reasons until you convince them otherwise. Sometimes we get hot leads that get the link, they book it, they're ready to rock. And we gave them the opportunity to be hot. Some of you aren't even giving your hot leads an opportunity to be hot, right? That's what automation can do. So let's check out a case study here. Hi, Kim. It's Tanner. It's been a few days. We still haven't gotten you on the schedule for the quote you requested. I didn't write this email, right? This is happening while I'm here right now. There's automation happening in my painting business while I stand here and get to impart value to you. Happy to take a look at some photos if that's easier. Just send them over. Or if you're ready to book, just click the link below, right? So what did we do? We gave her an option, right? Hey, I don't know if you're in the category of people that are scared, regretful, you know, budget focused, or just don't want to invite strangers to your house. I don't know if you're in that category. So option number one, send me some photos of it. Let's get the conversation going at least, right? I think we can all agree that that would be beneficial. Or option number two, maybe you got busy and you just need another link. I don't know about you guys, but my email gets so backed up now. I don't know. Somebody's got to figure out a solution, right? I mean, two days ago, I'm not going to see the email. We can't expect people to just like search for our email, right? We need consistent communication, staying top of mind. And that's what we're doing here. Our online schedule will allow you to choose a date and a time that works best for you. Option number three, have questions, you call us, right? So we gave this person three options because we don't know where they're at in their life. I've never even spoken to them, but somehow I have their information. This is the day we live in, right? So we're facilitating part A to step B, right? Send us a few photos of the project. Hi, Tanner. Sorry for the late reply. Look at this, right? She replied to it. Okay, I recently had to have surgery. She's in the surgery column, right? I've attached two photos of my house, front and back. Also a photo of the color scheme I am interested in. I am sure you will need to come see the home, but you could probably get a rough estimate this way as well. I'm looking to get this done February, March, if possible. What did I say? Why people buy does not change. How people buy will always change. What I'm telling you right now might be obsolete in 10 years. We might all have the things on. You know, I don't know. But guess what? We'll be moving that needle, right? I'm going to be looking, right? So here's the deal. This automatically went out and she responded to it and was able to confide in me instead of just ignoring me, right? Anybody here tired of being ignored by leads, you know, customers? This allows us to position ourselves in a way that we are teammates in the arrangement, right? So check this out. This is another customer here. Hey, just checking in, heads up. You can send over a few photos of the project if that's easier. Guess what she did? Right? So she ignored the first message up top. It says, does Wednesday work for an estimate? You guys saw that. So she was in the category of people that don't like Wednesday. Okay? No problem. We can automate our business in a way that serves the many. Okay, well, guess what? You ignored my Wednesday estimate. You must be busy. Anyone agree that people are busy? Send me photos. Hey, that'd be great. It's almost like I gave her a golden ticket to check the box of getting a quote for her painting estimate, right? Not sure what colors we're doing yet. Now I have information about something that I can provide value on, right? When you guys hear that colors aren't being selected or having trouble, don't you get excited, right? Isn't that like a way that we can add value with a color consultation or do something to separate ourselves? You guys can almost guess what I put in the next message, right? I don't know Sierra Devon, right? But now I know a little bit about her, right? That's the value right here of automation, because if without it, some of us would have gave up on Sierra, right? Our chances were slim according to our Harvard business graph, right? This is probably something we'd be looking to do in a few months. We just moved to November, so we have some other projects we're trying to finish. So what's interesting is she submitted the request. She wants it now in a few months. So maybe something happened from the time that she submitted the request to the time she spoke with me, but at least I gave her an option to position myself as someone that she would be interested in hiring, okay? So why aren't you following up? There's a few reasons, five of them, okay? Number one, you're probably a little disorganized. It's hard to follow up with people if you don't know where they are in the buying process. Number two, you might be spread too thin. Maybe you're trying to do too much with too little. Number three, you're not sure of the value of following up. It's never been something that was important to you. Number four, you're too busy, right? You have enough on your plate. If they don't want to buy from me, screw them, right? So that's kind of sometimes the mindset. And number five, you're not using automation, which is, again, it's almost like a cheat code. The fortune is in the follow-up, right? Has anyone heard that statement before, right? 80% of sales require five follow-ups after the initial contact, 80%. You know, guys, we're selling something that's expensive, right? It's worth pursuing a little bit, right? We do this so often, some of us think a $4,000 job is on the low end, but for most people, that may be the biggest expense they make for the whole year. Let's make sure that we identify that and we position our sales process in a way that showcases the value in that for that individual, right? 44% stop following up after one rejection. 22 stop following up after two rejections. 14 stop following up after three rejections. 12 stop following up after four, and then 8%. Now here's the deal, I'm not asking you to continue to follow up if someone clearly says, I hired someone else. You're like, yeah, but yeah, can you, you know, rip up the contract? Like, no. I want you to understand that in the same way I see this, I say, after the first time you were ignored, after the second time you were ignored, after the third time you were ignored, after the fourth time you were ignored, right? And what we want to do is we want to create a system that just does it for us, right? And it takes off the edge. So here's the deal. Data, set rate, right? Data is important. So you understand the value behind your follow-ups and what's working. And you can see here our set rate. This is a very important metric for you to be a student of. Our set rate is 57%. So that means that 57% of the time, we're going to convert a lead to an appointment. You can see we have our lead sources here neatly organized with Google, of course, being the highest intent at a beautiful 72%, right? And then next is Facebook, which is really doing well for us at 40%, 25%. And nothing, of course, beats word of mouth. This data makes sense, doesn't it? People that get our name from someone obviously has the highest intent, but we don't make them wait. We capitalize on that initial interaction and we convert them to an appointment, right? So let's continue. So concept number two, right, is pipeline management. So concept number one was speed to lead. Concept number two is pipeline management. So here's the deal. This is a pipeline. If you haven't seen this before, this is how we organize our customers. And what's great about this is it gives us a visual representation of where the customer is in the buying process, okay? Just because someone doesn't buy today doesn't mean they won't buy tomorrow. And this is a big mindset shift for me, is that ultimately when you start hearing the reasons and excuses and all of the, I guess, all of the objections as to why someone can't buy from you, you start to just understand that people are busy. This is a big decision for some people, and we have to have something in our business that's a hedge against time. So why do warm leads need to be nurtured? So the definition I have of a warm lead is someone that we speak to, but they're not ready for an estimate yet. Anyone deal with someone that is buying a house in the next few months and maybe they're not ready to meet with you yet, or maybe there's a renovation that they're waiting to get done. Some people, you know, roof first, paint first, floor first, paint first. It's always paint first, right? So number one, indecisive about project details. Number two, maybe they don't own the house yet. Number three, didn't sell the house yet. Number four, waiting for money. Number five, life event came up. And number six, health, right? So the first stage we talked about, guys, was cold leads, right? And I gave you six different scenarios as to why those people don't go from cold to booked estimate, right? Well, guess what? Now we have warm leads. Here's six more scenarios. You can't manage this without automation. There's no way. You might be able to manage one or two, but guess what? The algorithm of math, of the different variables, I mean, we got to think of it. You have 12 variables. How many combinations would that be? Okay. How am I doing on time? Good. What time is it? 4:34. What time?
4:34.
Going to 5, right? Yeah. All right. So why do warm leads? Indecisive. Got it. Okay. So here's our warm lead flow, right? So we know what a warm lead is. We know it's somebody that needs what? Anyone know? Time. Okay? Be a student of this. A warm lead just needs time. So what do? We have a 150-day follow-up sequence for 5 months. It's going to go out to the person who tells us that they need time. Sure, we'll give you as much time as you want, but we'll be there when you're ready. And guess what? When 5 months come around and they book the estimate, you're going to thank yourself from 5 months ago. Here's an example. October 6th, right? She got the message. October 1st. Hey, it's been a little bit since we've spoken about your project. Has it been completed or do you still need an estimate? How many of you, share hands, think that I wrote this message? Hey, it's been a little bit since we've spoken about your project. Has it been completed or did you still need an estimate? Does anyone think I manually wrote this at 12:08 p.m., my lunchtime, on October 1st? The answer to that question would be, I did not write the message. Automation did. Hi, please give me a call. Would like to set up an appointment for a free estimate in painting the interior of our home. She got back to me 5 days later, right? Why? Because I have a pipeline, and within that pipeline, I have follow-ups, and I knew exactly where this customer, Donna, was in the buying process. So when she got the email, it was personal to her. She was probably intrigued. She was probably like, how the heck did he remember this, right? And what did that do? It probably created the desire to work with me, because people tend to work with people that make them feel what? Important, valued, right? Concept number three, building value with automation. Touch points, good topic here. How many times are we touching our customer digitally with your company during lifespan? You're not the estimate, just, you know. All right, so here's the deal, guys. I want you to understand, from the moment your customer puts in the request, right? The moment. We got a ticking time bomb, right? I want you to understand that some of you get a request, book an appointment, and there's radio silence from the time you book the appointment to the time that you go like this. Radio silence, nothing's happening. No communication, no reminders, no nothing, right? What did we talk about what time does? Does anyone remember? The sliding slope goes down, right? That emotional intensity. Most of us are selling an emotional product. People have to convince themselves they want it. That's what an emotional product is, right? They have to convince themselves, or they have to ride the wave of your ability to convince them, okay? So what are we gonna do with time if we know that time creates a sliding scale in the negative direction? Well, we're gonna fill in those gaps. If I just sat here, guys, for the next 5 minutes in silence, you guys would start to get antsy. You'd be like, is he okay, right? You would start to think that something is wrong. And maybe I'm just letting silence fill the room so we can think, right? Well, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that would be okay. But now you guys are so antsy, you'll probably start, somebody will start picking up their phone, and then somebody's gonna leave to the bathroom, they don't have to go. Why? Because time is no longer a precious moment. It makes us feel like something's wrong, right? So we can't let time go by when it comes to capitalizing on the emotional intensity of a buying decision, especially if it's a cold lead who has super low intent, right? This is our pipeline zoomed in, estimate requested to estimate schedule. And what we're talking about is the difference from a customer moving here to here. And here's the journey, right? So here's the deal. Hi there, friends. We prepare for your estimate. I thought I'd take a moment to introduce myself. I'm telling my story. Why? Because people buy a story. They like to buy a story, right? So they know a little bit about me before I walk in the door. Let me tell you, it's such a great feeling when you knock on the door and somebody says, I read your story. I say, great. Now I can build even more value and I have to tell you my story, right? Or we could talk about my story, right? Hey, you started your business because you were helping your dad. Like, or hey, you know, I love your values and I align with those values. And look what Wendy said after reading my story. This was such a great message to receive today. And I haven't even met Wendy. She's only engaged with my automatic communication up to this point. This was a great message to receive today. Concept number four, selling with automation. Here's our sales pipeline. Proposal sent, on hold. Why do quoted customers need to be followed up with? Again, more variables that we have to keep into play if we want to win the game. Number one, change in scope. Number two, maybe they're busy. Number three, they have unanswered questions. Number four, budget. Number five, life event. Number six, yes or no, right? So here's the deal. Sometimes we just want to know yes or no, right? We still should follow up with them. This is the big one. This is where most of you do your follow-up, right? You have no problem doing the follow-up when the money's been put on the table, right? Here's our follow-up sequence, automated. I am not following up with anybody immediately. 2 hours, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 6 days, 7 days, 11 days, 2 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Until you tell me no, I already invested my time for your free estimate. I want to hear yes or no, right? Hey, Robin, any questions come up regarding the quote we sent over? Just checking in. That's a text message. Anyone here think I wrote it? Cool. You guys have been paying attention. Thank you. Hey, Tanner, super sorry. I thought I responded to this but never sent it. But actually, one adjustment. I do need the ceilings painted. Didn't realize it until I went to the house again. Also, is the earliest you have available 3 to 4 weeks out? That text message goes out 3 days after I give them the quote. Okay? She responded because she has a scope clarification that needs to be done. Perfect. We're moving the customer through the pipeline automatically. Automated discounts, okay? This is a little bit blurry. I'll try to paraphrase. I have a message that goes out after 6 days. Don't tell my customers. Hey, Matthew, I thought I'd reach out to let you know I have one more opening for this month, trying to book for our cruise. As a thank you for moving forward with us, if I take $250 off the proposal, would you allow me to earn your business? Now, here's the deal. Don't really care what you think about discounts. You can do whatever you want. For me, if it's $250 separating us from making a deal, I'm all in. Let's go. Because I'm going to probably spend those resources trying to chase you down if I need to. What dates are those openings? I will call you Monday. Need to ask a question about stucco repair. When can I call you? This is just three of endless responses that I get on this message. This is what has allowed us to scale, right? I can't emphasize this enough, guys. Your customers appreciate solid communication, right? They appreciate even more when it relates to them, and it allows them to move the needle. People are more busy now than they ever were. Concept number five, automating the job journey. What type of communication should our paying customers receive? Number one, a thank you message, right? Number two, we should be able to set expectations. Number three, reminders. Number four, updates. Number five, project management. Number six, review link. Number seven, touch up or punch out. Number eight, aftercare or warranty information. Number nine, ongoing marketing. Nine more variables. Anybody keeping track of the total amount of variables? I lost track, right? It's over 40 different variables of different wants and needs and desires. We've been talking about the sales pipeline this whole time. We haven't even gotten into production. And you might be thinking, dude, this is so much for me. Well, that's what automation's for, because you can't do it. There's no way to do it efficiently, right? The quality of our production communication should be synonymous with the quality of our sales communication. They should go hand in hand. If you give someone a great sales experience and they have a poor production experience, what does that make you look like? A liar. A liar, right? Or worse, it just creates the thought that you may be not integral, right? You got what you wanted out of me. I get no communication now. And that might just be because you don't have the processes for it. So here's our jobs pipeline. Project accepted, project scheduled, colors confirmed, project in progress, project complete. Cabinet Coating Kings, I love what you guys do. We set expectations once the customer accepts the proposal. Hey, Paul, just a reminder for many of our customers, it's their first time taking on this type of home improvement project. No worries, we are seasoned professionals, love what we do. We've learned to give you an idea ahead of time of what to expect and can answer any questions after you've reviewed it if necessary. Hey, do me a favor, please click this link to review what's expected during our project. Oh, and by the way, thank you, we're excited to get started. We have you scheduled for the first. The next email you should receive will be regarding colors. Aiden, did you type this? Mm-hmm. You typed this one?
I made a spreadsheet.
How many times?
Actually?
Yeah, how many times did you type this?
No, it's automated.
Yeah, it's automated. You made it one time and you set it and forget it.
Yeah.
You never seen it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So Aiden typed it and look at that. And what is he doing? He's answering the questions he knows every single one of his customers has one time. Do people really care about this? Well, I don't know. I looked at the data. These are all the people that have clicked that email link in his email, right? Since January 17th here, right? So in a month, all of these customers found value in the message that was sent. And what does that also show you? If they didn't receive it, right? All of these people would probably have a question in their head about the expectations. Do you know how many questions people probably have about a cabinet refinishing process? Can I use my kitchen? You guys probably hear them all the time. So what Aiden did was, is he made a beautiful, you know, Canva probably, something on there, right? And he answered it one time. And what does that do? It takes off the pressure of your administration team from fielding all the questions, doesn't it? Or worse, yourself. One time, two places at once. Do you provide a journey or a challenge? Let me know when I have 10 minutes.